Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 24th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Protests erupt across the country after no murder charges are filed in the death of Breonna Taylor.
President Trump signals the White House and not the FDA could clear an emergency COVID vaccine.
Stocks drop after Fed officials warn more fiscal stimulus is needed.
President Trump refuses to commit to a peaceful transfer of power post-election.
There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation.
I'm John Tucker. That story is straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Lopsided defeat for the Yankees. Mets lost two. Playoff wins for Miami in the NBA. Tampa Bay in the NHL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people. Character, community, partnership. Together as one. SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS.
And futures are lower this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 8 points this morning. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures down 61. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. CAC in Paris down 0.7%. And the FT 100 down about the same. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 41 cents at $39.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $10.60 at $18.5780 an ounce. The euro 1.1656 against the dollar, and the yen is at 105.35. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning in Louisville, Kentucky, where protests have erupted after no murder charges were filed in the death of Breonna Taylor. Grand jury chose not to file murder charges against any of the police officers involved in Taylor's death. Instead, a single officer was charged with wanton endangerment for firing into neighboring apartments. The decision sparked peaceful demonstrations in Louisville that later turned violent. Two police officers were shot ahead of a 9 p.m. curfew.
Right there, officer down, right there.
Robert Schroeder is chief of police in Louisville.
Both officers are currently undergoing treatment at University Hospital. One is in alert and stable. The other officer is currently undergoing surgery and stable.
Schroeder says the suspect is in custody. There has been strong reaction across the country. Taylor was shot and killed while in her home. Police were executing a no-knock warrant related to drugs that targeted Taylor's boyfriend. No drugs were found. In neighboring Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker condemned the decision.
This is, to put it simply, a gross miscarriage of justice.
Presidential nominee Joe Biden is weighing in, asking demonstrators not to embrace violence.
My heart goes out to Breonna Taylor's mom. The last thing she needs is to see violence in the streets. So protest peacefully, no violence.
And President Trump is reacting to the shooting of police, saying on Twitter he was praying for the two wounded officers. He later tweeted in all caps, "Law and order."
We'll have more on the unrest coming up, but first, the latest on the push for a coronavirus vaccine. President Trump is signaling he could override any tightening of rules for a vaccine. And here with the latest is Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Food and Drug Administration is expected to issue final guidelines for an emergency use authorization for a vaccine. President Trump says that sounds political.
I'm saying, why would they have to be, you know, adding great length to the process? We want to have people not get sick. The vaccine is very important.
Regulators say they rely on science, not politics, in deciding when a vaccine reaches market. The president claims the rules would have to be approved by the White House and that he may or may not approve them. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meanwhile, the UK is considering its first vaccine studies that would deliberately expose healthy people to the virus. The idea of so-called challenge trials is gaining momentum, and a growing number of volunteers are signing up. This type of study can speed up research, but it raises ethical questions about exposing people to a potentially fatal virus.
It's back to Capitol Hill once again for Jay Powell and Steven Mnuchin. The Fed chairman and Treasury secretary testified this morning before the Senate Banking Committee. Yesterday, stocks closed at a two-month low after Powell and the Fed officials said more stimulus from Congress is critical to sustaining the economic recovery.
downturn has not fallen equally on all Americans. Those least able to bear the burden have been the most affected. The rise in joblessness has been especially severe for lower-wage workers, for women, and for African Americans and Hispanics.
White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow is pushing back, saying a broad stimulus package is not necessary.
I would say to you, sensible, efficient, targeted measures might be very helpful. I don't think we need another gigantic multi-trillion dollar package.
And Kudlow also says the White House will consider executive action to help airlines hit hard by the pandemic.
Well, we'll get a reading on the outbreak's impact on the labor market today with the release of jobless claims data. Economists say they probably held below 1 million for the fourth week. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
Jobless claims are telling us something, but it's hard to completely quantify. The numbers remain enormously high, and there is other evidence that more companies have been shutting down in recent weeks. But some states, notably California, are finding many claims are fraudulent. The state has stopped accepting new claims for the next few weeks while it sorts through its backlog. Wall Street will trade on whether claims are higher or lower than expected, but to understand the economy, it's probably best to consider the direction and magnitude of any change rather than the number itself. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, we're seeing more doubt this morning about a possible TikTok deal. Bloomberg News has learned Attorney General William Barr and other national security officials have not signed off on plans to let Oracle and Walmart take a stake in the company. Sources tell us the officials have unresolved concerns about the national security implications of the proposal.
They expect more market volatility as we get closer to the election. J.P. Morgan Chase says President Trump's election-related tweets are likely to drive a jump in volatility. The bank's analysts created the VolFefe Index, named after the president's CovFefe tweet from 2017. It attempts to gauge the impact of presidential tweets on the Treasury market, though interest rate derivatives known as swaptions.
And inside investors are selling stocks at the fastest pace since 2012. Corporate executives and officers at S&P 500 companies were busy unloading shares of their own firms over the last 4 weeks. The selling picked up so much versus buying that a measure of insider velocity tracked by Sundial Capital Research points to the fastest exit from stocks in 8 years. This is Bloomberg.
And it is now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time for us to check the latest world and national news headlines with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. President Trump won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power if a tally of ballots shows Democrat Joe Biden wins the November election. The president was responding to a reporter's question at a White House news conference last evening.
Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transfer of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
People are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transfer of power?
We want to get rid of the ballots, and you'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation.
President Trump also predicted the U.S. Supreme Court will decide the outcome of the November election and argued the Senate should confirm his nominee to replace the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to break any tie. Demonstrators packed a New York City plaza last night to protest the Kentucky grand jury's decision not to indict any police officers for the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor. Chanting "Say her name, Breonna Taylor," the crowd then started marching in downtown Brooklyn. A new report out of Stanford says those massive smoke from the wildfires may cost lives. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
Stanford says about 1,200 people and approximately 4,800 additional ER visits, mainly in people 65 years and older. The report also said it isn't known how the combination of smoke during the COVID-19 pandemic affects things. 26 deaths from the fires themselves have been recorded. Air quality here in the Bay Area has been very good almost everywhere for the past couple of days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump's son, Eric, can't delay until after the November election. A deposition sought by New York authorities in a civil fraud investigation of the family's business. A New York state judge made the ruling yesterday, handing a significant procedural victory to New York Attorney General Letitia James, who's leading the probe. And organizers of the New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square say this year, well, don't bother to show up in person. This year's celebration will be virtually enhanced and scaled back with just a limited group of in-person honorees. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Let's turn to John Stanshour now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Lately, when the Yankees lose, they really lose. Last night in Buffalo.
0-1. Bichette swings and drives the ball to the gap in left center field. Hicks on the run, reaches out, and it's off his glove, down for a base hit. Jansen is in to score. Biggio is in to score. Two-run double for Bo Bichette. The runs are pouring in. 13-1, Toronto.
Blue Jays radio the call. The Jays would later add Danny Jansen's second home run of the game. It came off the Yanks' third-string catcher, Eric Kratz, who was pitching the second time in the last 2 days because the Yanks keep getting pounded. They've lost three of the last four, and in those three, they've allowed 35 runs. The Jays won 14-1. The Yanks had only four hits. They had four errors, and it looks like they're going to have to play the wild card series next week on the road, maybe in Chicago. The White Sox just lost their fourth in a row. The Twins won their fourth straight, and Minnesota now leads the division. The Yanks will play whoever finishes second. Tampa Bay clinched its first AL East title in a decade, beat the Mets 8-5. Met home runs in defeat from Todd Frazier, Dom Smith, and Andrés Giménez. Celtics and Heat, game four, close all night, but Miami had itself a hero. Tyler Hero is a rookie, only 20 years old, comes off the Miami bench. He poured in 37 points. Miami won game four, 112-109, to take a 3-1 series lead. Stanley Cup final, Tampa Bay over Dallas, 5-2, for a 2-1 lead there. Hall of Famer Gale Sayers has died at 77. His Chicago Bears career cut short by injury, but when healthy, Sayers, one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Futures pointing to more selling on Wall Street this morning. S&P futures are down 10 points or a third of 1%. Dow futures down 82 points or 0.3%. NASDAQ futures are down 68. That's a drop of 0.6%. 10-year Treasury is up 2/32. Yield 66 basis points. Yield on the 2-year 13 basis points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 5:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And stocks are falling. U.S. stock index futures are edging lower after Federal Reserve officials warn that more fiscal stimulus is needed to sustain the economic recovery. Treasuries are rising, oil falling. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6 points this morning. Dow futures down 41. NASDAQ futures down 54. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 17 cents at $39.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.7% or $13.90 at $18.54.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1654 against the dollar. British pound 1.2745. And the yen is at 105.31. And EW Scripps is close to a deal to buy Ion Media for $2.65 billion. That from Dow Jones, which cited people familiar with the matter. Today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. New home sales out at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Kentucky won't pursue murder charges against the police officers in the death of Breonna Taylor. The decision prompted nationwide protests. Two Louisville police officers were shot and injured. And President Trump won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power if a tally of ballots shows Democrat Joe Biden wins the November election. The president also signaled he could veto any tightening of rules for the emergency clearance of a coronavirus vaccine, a move that could increase concerns the race to find a shot is becoming entangled with politics. Sports, NBA playoffs, Heat beat the Celtics. Stanley Cup Finals, Tampa Bay beat the Stars. Baseball, Yankees and Mets both lose. The Red Sox and Giants win. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and with multiple political risks rising this morning, we're pleased to welcome in Isaac Boltansky, Director of Policy Research at Compass Point Research and Trading. Great to have you with us, Isaac, this morning. And I want to start with the renewed protests now in Louisville, Kentucky, and across the country now that the grand jury has decided not to bring charges against police officers in the black woman's killing. Does this have political fallout? Does this potentially reshape the presidential race?
Good morning. Look, it's difficult to speak about politics and policy when there's violence in the street and suffering, but that is part of our job. And when you try to take a step back from this situation and ask how this is going to impact the race, here's how I think about it. I think that the underlying issue set at the core of these protests benefits Biden. I think that those issues, those concerns are all tailwinds for voter turnout in the base and messages that he can seize in the upcoming debates. But the violent protests, I think, benefit the president because they fit squarely within his law and order messaging and something that I think he will seize on in the coming weeks.
So you mentioned the debates coming up next week. Do you think this becomes a front burner issue as the debates get underway next week?
So I think that these debates are going to be some of the most interesting debates that we've seen in presidential politics in a very long time. And I think some of the most consequential. For the past few months, we have been basically just taking in well-manicured commercials and road-tested sound bites from each of the candidates. And so this will be our first look at these two men side by side. And I think that that's going to have a real impact on undecided voters as well as some voters within each base who have been teetering.
How do you see this potentially changing the dynamic of the race, particularly in battleground states? We just got a new poll out this morning from the New York Times and Siena College that shows very tight races for both candidates in Georgia, Iowa, and Texas. Of course, Georgia and Texas were pivotal states for the president's win in 2016.
So I think there are two separate questions there. How do these issues impact the presidential race? And then how do these issues impact the Senate race? I think it's fair to assume that the House is going to stay in Democratic hands. So there are a handful of Senate races that will decide who has control. And so I think it's not just the protests in the streets, but also the Supreme Court fight, which is going to be playing out in D.C. over the next few weeks, even though that candidate likely has a clear path to passage. The simple answer is it's going to have different impacts in different states. And I would say that, for example, the Supreme Court fight, I think that bolsters some incumbents in states like Texas. But I think that it hurts the GOP candidate in a state like Colorado. And so this is why I try to step away from sweeping proclamations about impact, because it's far more nuanced based on issues in each state.
And of course, the president himself has raised the issue of a Supreme Court vacancy needing to be filled before Election Day in case there is a prospect of a contested election. And now the president is even saying he won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power if the election doesn't turn out his way. In the last minute or so we have left here, what could that mean for market volatility as we get closer to November?
I think investors, and I know my clients were prepared for the fall and the election to have a considerable amount of political risk, but I don't think that anyone was prepared for it to be just this messy and just this concerning. If we run through the issue set, you have uncertainty heading into the election because no one trusts polls to the same degree as they used to. You have a high likelihood that we won't know who the winner is in the presidential race. You have a decent chance that we might not know who has control of the Senate race for a few weeks because of the runoff processes in Georgia. And with that backdrop, we also still have a global pandemic, a Supreme Court nominee fight that's going to shape the entire race and each one of these Senate elections. And perhaps most importantly for me, we have a Washington that has failed in its most base duty, which is to provide fiscal support for small businesses and individuals who are suffering.
Multiple catalysts as we're just now less than 6 weeks away from the election. Isaac Boltansky, thanks so much for getting up early with us this morning. Isaac Boltansky is Director of Policy Research at Compass Point Research and Trading. After yesterday's sell-off, futures are pointing to more losses this morning. S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures down 42. NASDAQ futures leading the way with losses down 56 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling on the heels of yesterday's sell-off, which saw stocks close at a two-month low. The move lower comes as Fed officials warn that more stimulus from Congress is needed to sustain the economic recovery. One of those officials, Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida, spoke exclusively to Bloomberg.
We still have a very high rate of unemployment. We have a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that are suffering. And so, yes, additional fiscal support will likely be needed.
We'll hear more from the Fed again today when Chairman Jay Powell testifies before the Senate Banking Committee.
Meantime, President Trump is signaling he could override any tightening of rules for emergency clearance of a coronavirus vaccine.
I'm saying, why would they have to be, you know, adding great length to the process? We want to have people not get sick. The vaccine is very important.
Regulators and drug makers have vowed to adhere to science, not politics, in deciding when a vaccine is ready to reach the market.
We get another reading today on how the pandemic has impacted the economy. Economists say jobless claims probably held below 1 million for the fourth week in a row. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
There's been some progress in the wake of the coronavirus, but in advance of today's data, Bloomberg Economics says the recovery is losing momentum and the U.S. needs another round of government aid. The White House and Congress are at an impasse, a stalemate that could persist past the election. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the labor market faces a long road to recovery. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, we're seeing more doubt this morning about a possible TikTok deal. Bloomberg News has learned Attorney General William Barr and other national security officials have not signed off on plans to let Oracle and Walmart take a stake in the company. Sources tell us the officials have unresolved concerns about the national security implications of the proposal. We're going to get more on that 15 minutes from now when we speak with Wedbush Securities Managing Director of Equity Research, Dan Ives.
And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 7 points. Dow futures down 42. NASDAQ futures down 67. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.66%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7%, or 29 cents, at $39.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8%, or $15.20, at $1,853.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1639 against the dollar, and the yen is at 105.38. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, and John Tucker's back with us for more on what's going on around the world. John?
And good morning, Nathan. Protests breaking out in cities across the country after Kentucky's attorney general announced no charges in the March police shooting death of Breonna Taylor in Louisville. Two Louisville police officers were shot and injured in the demonstrations. Taylor was shot and killed in her home as officers were serving a no-knock warrant. The only charge filed was against a former police officer for shooting into a neighboring apartment. President Trump won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power, Amy Morris reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
During yesterday's White House news conference, the president was asked point blank if he would commit to a peaceful transfer of power if the vote shows Democrat Joe Biden winning the November election.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
President Trump added, quote, "There won't be a transfer. There will be a continuation." The president continues to claim without evidence mail-in voting is susceptible to fraud. Trump campaign lawyers are challenging mail-in voting rules in several states. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
Democrats are scrambling in Pennsylvania to reduce the number of mail-in ballots that could be rejected because voters failed to put them in required secrecy envelopes. These mail ballots have been dubbed naked ballots, and election officials fear that as many as 100,000 or more could be rejected in November. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled last week that naked ballots could not be counted. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was remembered yesterday at the court in front of grieving family, colleagues, and friends as a prophet for justice who persevered against long odds to become an American icon. Meanwhile, the crowds continue to grow outside, waiting for a chance to pay their respects. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says a recent uptick of coronavirus cases in South Brooklyn and Queens neighborhoods requires urgent action, including stepped-up testing, education, and enforcement. Since the first week of August, the rate of positive tests has climbed to 4.71% at Midwood, Borough Park, and Bensonhurst. And California Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered regulators to phase out the internal combustion engine and ban the sale of all new gasoline-fueled cars after 2035. With that, California becomes the first state in America to impose such a prohibition and deliver the biggest jolt yet to automakers already under pressure to give up fossil fuels and deliver a new generation of electric vehicles. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Now time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Luke Voit said after last night's game, the Yankees played like the Bad News Bears. They had four errors, only four hits. They gave up 16 hits. The Blue Jays won 14-1 in the fifth inning. The game was still in reach. Yanks had the bases loaded, nobody out, didn't score. And then Toronto put it away with eight runs in the sixth of Luis Sessa and Tyler Lyons. Masahiro Tanaka took the loss. He was hurt by three of those Yankee errors. Unless they get some help this weekend, the Yankees, who have been much better at home, are going to be playing next week's wild card series on the road, either in Minnesota or Chicago. Tampa Bay clinched the AL East with an 8-5 win over Michael Wacha and the Mets. Mets in the offseason brought in Wacha and Rick Porcello to bolster the rotation. Together, they went 2-10. The Miami Heat, one win from a surprising trip to the NBA Finals. They beat the Celtics 112-109. They lead the East Finals 3-1. 37 points for Miami's Tyler Hero, the most points scored by a 20-year-old in an NBA playoff game since Magic Johnson scored 42 40 years ago. Tampa Bay beat Dallas 5-2 for a 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Final. The Giants Sunday will not face the 49ers starting quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo out with an ankle injury, so it'll be the backup Nick Mullins. An unusual injury suffered by Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor, victim of friendly fire. The team doctor was giving Taylor a pregame injection for his cracked rib and mistakenly punctured Taylor's lung. He's not playing this week either. Gale Sayers being remembered as, when healthy, perhaps the most exciting player in NFL history. Sayers has died at 77. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street, and time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City will expand week-long furloughs to another 9,000 employees to save $21 million. Managerial and non-union employees will take five furlough days from October 1st through March. A similar order earlier this month covered about 500 employees at the mayor's office. New York's newest subway cars are returning to service. They were pulled for a safety review in June when two cars decoupled when a train was moving. The MTA withdrew the 318-vehicle fleet after the pair of cars separated upon entering a Manhattan station in the early hours of the morning. Princeton enrollment slid this semester as the COVID-19 pandemic spurred some students to stay away. Declines were led by those seeking deferrals and leaves. The Ivy League school 4,700 undergraduates enrolled for the summer semester, compared with about 5,300 students in fall of 2019. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thanks. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Canned cocktail sales soared during the summer of COVID-19.
I'm Jeff Bullinger, and on Cogo in San Diego, I'm reporting electric vehicle makers are already starting to prepare for the day California bans the sale of gas-powered cars.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the Chancellor's plans to help workers and businesses affected by the new virus restrictions.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about women making inroads into the male-dominated taxi industry.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting California has set a deadline for banning gasoline-powered cars.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching, J.P. Morgan Chase becoming the latest bank to halt plans to bring workers back to its London offices. Here with more on that is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The UK government is urging people to work from home to stem a surge in virus cases. According to a memo seen by Bloomberg News, the American lender says it will wait on increasing the number of workers returning to UK sites, including Canary Wharf, following government guidance. While some other lenders have encouraged people to return to working from home, JP Morgan said its business units will decide who is needed in the office. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. It's not just London offices. Fewer college students are opting to go back to campus in the U.S., deterred by COVID-19 risk and the prospect of taking classes online. Undergraduate enrollments dropped 2.5% for the current academic year. That's according to data released by the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center. The steepest decline was among international students. Futures contracts are declining this morning. S&P futures down 7, Dow futures down 36, NASDAQ futures down 70 points. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 5:41 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moskow. Stocks are falling, and U.S. stock index futures are edging lower this morning after Federal Reserve officials warn that more fiscal stimulus is needed to sustain the economic recovery. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down about 6 points, Dow futures down 28, NASDAQ futures down to 62. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.66%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 8 cents at $39.84 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.8% or $14.60 at $18.53.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1635 against the dollar. The yen 105.44. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Protests broke out in cities across the country after Kentucky's Attorney General announced no charges in the March police shooting death of Breonna Taylor in Louisville. Two Louisville police officers were shot and injured. President Trump won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power if a tally of ballots shows Democrat Joe Biden wins the November election. And President Trump also signaled he could veto any tightening of rules for the emergency clearance of a coronavirus vaccine. Sports, the NBA playoffs, Heat beat the Celtics in the Stanley Cup Finals. Tampa Bay beat the Stars, and in baseball, the Yankees and Mets both lose. The Red Sox and the Giants win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 5:48 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And just when you might have thought the saga over TikTok was in the rearview mirror, key members of the Trump administration may still have misgivings about the agreement between the social app and Oracle. Let's get some insights this morning from Dan Ives, Managing Director and Equity Research Analyst at Wedbush Securities. Dan, great as always to talk with you. Sources are telling us that Attorney General William Barr and some other officials aren't so sure about the national security implications of the Oracle TikTok tie-up. Could that be enough to derail it?
Hey, look, there's still some questions out there. And even though it's at the one-yard line, and I think most investors view it as Oracle, Walmart, and that deal's going to get done, it just shows this soap opera still could have some twists and turns ahead, which just adds uncertainty for the broader ramifications in this U.S.-China cold tech war.
So you're at the one-yard line. What are the implications? What are you going to be watching for to see whether it gets into the end zone or we start to see even more setbacks?
Yeah. And, you know, I think the fundamental problem here comes down to, especially with the deadline looming for the app shutdown, which is going to be contested in court, the longer this takes, the more questions. And ultimately, remember, in Beijing, there needs to be some algorithm issues in terms of the export rules. So that's another thing that needs to get clearance. And a lot of it really comes down to the ByteDance piece, as well as just understanding the national security, which still needs to get vetted by CFIUS and others. To me, it still looks like this deal is going to get done, although, as we've seen by news, it's still not a certainty, and that's going to be a bit of a question for investors.
So what's your read exactly on how this agreement with Oracle and Walmart is going to work? Do you think that the concerns that are reportedly being raised by Attorney General Barr when it comes to the continued ownership stake that ByteDance is going to have under this agreement, that these concerns are warranted for him?
Look, from a technology perspective, with Oracle basically being the big brother backdoor, making sure that there's no data going to Beijing, I think that's something that clears the security issues. In terms of the ByteDance piece, look, that continues to be really a UFC battle here between D.C. and Beijing, because even though it will be technically majority owned by the U.S., I think that's something, you know, that you're going to continue to see in part of negotiations. And I think what this is going to do, it's going to put further and further pressure, you know, on ByteDance and TikTok, to potentially relent, just given the deadline looming and what could happen if a shutdown happens.
Of course, this is a kind of a microcosm in the ongoing tensions between the U.S. and China, particularly in the tech sector. Do you see this fight that just doesn't seem to be going away having any broader implications for tech?
Well, it's more about retaliation. When you look at companies like a Cisco, again, Apple, I think it's a contained risk, but any U.S. companies that obviously focus in China, and I think that's the broader worry. When you look at 5G and really what's happened over the last 18 months, you know, I don't see it necessarily getting better, because fundamentally, especially when you look at the technology wars, it's going to get more and more intense, not just on the consumer side, but on the enterprise side. And I view this as almost a Fort Sumner-like moment, depending on how it goes. If TikTok gets done, Oracle, Walmart, I think everyone sleeps well at night. If it goes down the other path, it could have much more negative ramifications.
All right, we'll continue to keep watching it to see whether there are any further developments in this saga as we do get closer to that deadline. Dan Ives, Managing Director at Wedbush Securities, again, thanks for coming on with us this morning. Karen?
All right, thanks, Nathan. It's 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A Delaware court ruled that Chubb Insurance is on the hook for legal bills incurred by Rite Aid when the drugstore chain defended itself against opioid-related lawsuits. The California Supreme Court will not review a lower court ruling that Apple did not steal trade secrets when it hired an app startup's top engineers. And California's highest court ruled that law school graduates who want to practice in the state will not be able to completely skip the bar exam. An online version of the test is set for early next month.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now other legal news we're watching this morning. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg being remembered at the Supreme Court as the political maneuvering to replace her continues. If President Trump succeeds in getting another nominee confirmed, how will a new conservative majority affect the court and the law? For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to constitutional law professor Stephen Vladek of the University of Texas Law School.
Steve, how will putting another conservative on the court affect Supreme Court jurisprudence in the years to come?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no question that if President Trump is able to get a conservative confirmed to succeed Justice Ginsburg, it's going to move the court really as far to the right as we can remember it. Certainly as far to the right as it was at the beginning of the New Deal, when it constantly thwarted many of President Roosevelt's initiatives. But, you know, June, perhaps even more conservative than that. And, you know, I think that's going to have obvious and predictable impacts on everything from religious liberty to abortion to separation of powers. I mean, across the spectrum of constitutional and legal questions, we're looking at a court that's going to be very, very conservative for quite some time.
Chief Justice Roberts moves in increments. With another conservative justice, do you see those changes happening more swiftly?
I mean, I think it's possible. You know, there's no question that Chief Justice Roberts has shown, especially in the last couple of years, that he has a real institutionalist streak that sometimes leads him to vote in ways that might be different from how he'd actually vote if it were purely about what he thinks the right answer is on the merits. With a sixth conservative justice on the court, June, that marginalizes the Chief Justice. And it means that the conservatives can lose him or Justice Gorsuch or Justice Kavanaugh and still have a majority in any one of these cases. And so it's going to take two of the conservatives to cross over and join the progressives in any of the sort of conventionally divisive cases for us to see anything other than just conservative hegemony on the court. We saw that this term, right? I mean, the Bostock case with Justice Gorsuch and the Chief Justice joining the then four progressive justices. But June, those cases are going to be the exception, not the rule.
Justice Ginsburg was the leader of the court's liberal bloc. Who will be the leader of the court's conservative bloc?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some real split and perhaps even some tension among the six conservative justices. Obviously, I think the chief is still going to have a heck of a lot of both, you know, sort of formal and informal authority. It's still going to be his call when he's in the majority who gets the opinion assignment. He still has a lot of, I think, administrative control over the court. But I think there's going to be some buy-in for control of that coalition among different justices. Does this mean that there are now five votes for some of the ideas that the chief wasn't necessarily quite willing to sign off on, for example, in gun cases? If so, you know, is it Justice Alito who leads that? Is it Justice Thomas? I think it's going to be some interesting behind-the-scenes machinations among this new conservative majority. But, you know, June, all that's really going to affect at the end of the day is how these opinions are written. I don't think it's going to actually affect the result.
And that's Stephen Vladek at the University of Texas Law School. Speaking of Bloomberg's June Grosso, catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures lower, down almost 8 points now. Dow futures down 44. NASDAQ futures down 64. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.66%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.33%, or 15 cents, at $39.78 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.7% at $18.55.10 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.